Are you either single or in a relationship, and sometimes when you don't hear from your partner or the person you're starting to date for a length of time, you start to get really anxious? Or maybe you're in a relationship or single and the other person seems to become a little bit needy or clingy and constantly is trying to call you or text you, or you know, if you're back late one day, they get really worked up and that makes you want to withdraw because you feel a little bit overwhelmed. If any of these things apply to you, then stay tuned because we're going to talk about that in this podcast. Hi, welcome to this episode of the Mind, Body and Relationship Maves. And today we're going to be talking about how your attachment style can affect you if you're single and out dating, and also how it affects you if you're currently in a relationship.
And what do we mean by attachment style, you might wonder? In a way, it's a kind of relational style that you have. It's a way of how you look at other people and how you interpret their behaviour towards you. So attachment style really has come out of the work of John Bowlby, who was a British psychologist. And he discovered that there are different ways, different responses that children have to stresses in their environment and to their relationship with their parents. So, for example, when children have a very strong relationship with their parents and they're feeling very, very much like these are parents who are always there for me, I can return to them, they're my secure base, as Bowlby said, then he named this a secure attachment style.
And basically, if a child didn't have that carer that was there all the time, or if a carer kind of had intermittent signs of caring or kind of giving love to the baby or the infant, then what happened is the child might develop an anxious attachment style or an avoidant attachment style if the parent was very intermittent with the care that they gave them.
And with the anxious attachment style, one of the manifestations was that children started to protest if they didn't get what they needed. So a child would have learned that if I ramp up my protest and say I'm really not happy about this, if I cry a lot louder, I may get the attention that I will need from my primary carer, mum and dad.
And basically, you know, in terms of how it affects us as adults, which is what we're going to come into, is, you know, as an adult, your attachment style can have a big effect when you're out dating. We're going to start with looking at how it might affect you if you're currently single and dating. Now, your attachment style that you have now is going to be influenced possibly by the attachment style that you developed as a child, but many things can change it. So your relationships as you grow older. So it's not just the ones that you had as an infant, but, you know, say for example, even sort of 5-6 years ago or any time in your life, if you've been in a relationship and maybe something traumatic happened in that relationship, maybe you felt let down, betrayed, or the other person just walked out and you never heard from them again. It might be that that creates a different type of attachment style. We start to become anxious, or maybe we start to become avoidant.
Yes, so an avoidant attachment style is when you might have learned either as a child or later on as an adult, come to that in a minute, but let's start with being a child, that your parent was not available to you. So that you could try, as much as you could try, protest, wail, really try to get the parent's attention, they weren't going to respond to you. So what a child learns over time is that my parent is not responsive, I might as well not try. It's a way of giving up, in a way, of trying to get attention. And the child will learn that they can, that they need to learn to look after themselves, that they need to be more self-reliable. So obviously, in adult relationships, this particular attachment style can still play out. And as Tom just said, attachment styles are not set in stone. So don't walk away thinking, this is because I grew up like this, I'm always going to be like that. So they are malleable, they can change your attachment styles. But if there hasn't been a significant change in your life circumstances, for example, and if you are avoidant, then you are likely to be avoidant in the way that you interact with other people throughout your adult life as well. So, sorry, just to sort of, before you come in, Tom, just to say that, so if you have an avoidant attachment style, that means that you will be very careful about the way that you approach relationships, because you ultimately don't trust them, you ultimately believe that nobody's going to be there for you.
And this is really important when we get to adult life, when we start dating. Because if someone has a secure attachment style, it's quite likely that they, when they find a relationship with somebody else who's maybe secure, that they stay in that relationship for a long time or, you know, pretty much forever. So a great deal of the people, or a great amount of people who are out dating at any particular time, tend not to be secure. They tend to either be more of an anxious attachment style or an avoidant attachment style. Mm-hmm. And that can make it more challenging when you're out dating, because when we're out there, say, you know, say for example, we're anxious, that means that essentially we have different kind of stresses, different anxiety than somebody who's secure. And also when we're out there, the other person that we're meeting is likely to be anxious or avoidant. And that's going to manifest in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And it's really pretty important to begin to understand what is your attachment style. Mm-hmm. So you know exactly how that affects you when you're out dating. And also, what is the attachment style of the other person? Because, you know, until you know about attachment styles, sometimes we start to think that, you know, say we're anxious and the other person's avoidant, it might be that, you know, we go out on a few dates and then we never hear back from the other person. And we start thinking, you know, if we're anxious, like, what did I do wrong? Was it something about me? Is there something, you know, is there something that I did or said that the other person doesn't like? And we blame ourselves or get very upset.
That's right, yes, because it offers us a particular lens, doesn't it? So our attachment style will determine how we view other people, and it will also determine our interpretations. So, for example, as you said, somebody who's anxious will jump to particular conclusions if they're not being contacted by someone else. They will automatically think, oh, well, I need to just maybe ramp up my protest a little bit more, I need to be a bit more demanding, and then maybe they will pay attention to me. And also you will over-interpret any kind of response or lack of response from the other side immediately in slightly more disastrous terms. And if you're avoidant, well, I mean, you will feel that the other person might be too demanding. Oh, well, I've got another text again from this person who I've just met once on a date, and now they're getting in touch with me again. This is too much for me, so someone who's avoidant is likely to feel more easily overwhelmed by the demands of another person.
Yeah, so as Angela said, you know, someone who's avoidant is quite quickly maybe going to feel that their space is being cramped. Mm. And they start to kind of put up barriers. And it's not that they don't want a relationship, but because at some point in their life they've had a challenging situation to do with a relationship, at some level, they're almost protecting themselves from being hurt. So they put up these barriers because as soon as someone gets close, unconsciously, part of them thinks that maybe they're going to get hurt. So by putting up these barriers, it almost prevents that hurt from happening. So this is important because if we're involved with somebody who is avoidant and we want to maintain that relationship, we need to be aware that, particularly if we're anxious, when we start calling them too much or texting them too much or kind of, you know, trying to be around them all the time, suddenly this person can start to kind of withdraw. Yeah. And that can be very significant. And it doesn't mean that they don't like you. It means that essentially this attachment style is being triggered off, where they start to get this anxiety themselves.
That's right. And when it gets triggered off, there will be particular responses, because somebody who's avoidant, for example, or somebody who's anxious will need to protect themselves. Ultimately, they put down particular defences. So somebody's avoidant will put the shutters down, so to speak. They'll make sure that they're not going to get hurt. And the best way not to get hurt is to run away as far as they can. So if they're starting to feel too overwhelmed by the demands of somebody who's very anxious, then they're going to clam up, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And quite frequently, avoidant people will also have these certain kind of stories that they tell themselves that in a way protect them from getting too close and potentially being hurt. Mm-hmm. So stories such as, I'm looking for my soulmate. So if you ever know someone who says, yeah, I'm going to find my soulmate, or I'm looking for the one. As if there's like one person in the world that's the right person for them. And as a result, you go out dating, they go out dating, and they might meet somebody that for a few weeks or for a few months, they think, yeah, maybe this is the one. And then suddenly, as that person gets too close, they withdraw and they start thinking, well, actually, no, they start seeing the things they don't like about them. And they say, no, I've made a mistake. This isn't the one. And then they move on to somebody else, because it's not that there is a one. I think having that idea that there is one person or one soulmate out there, that often is that defense mechanism. Mm. And it can really stop us from finding that really fulfilling relationship.
Absolutely. And that's also why you find that in the dating pool on most dating sites, there is a very large number of people with avoidant attachment styles. Because they tend to be in the dating pool again and again. They're finding it quite difficult to maintain long-term relationships because they get triggered in their anxiety and therefore they step back. So they're anxious as well in their avoidance. And they're quite quickly, when they do get anxious, shut down the relationship and then start again, looking for the one, looking for the soulmate. So you're more likely to find people in the dating pool who are avoidant.
Yeah, absolutely. And just in terms of drawing the part about singles to a close before we move on to people in relationships, just having you think about if you are an anxious attachment, if you have an anxious attachment style, something that you might want to think about is if we're anxious, it may be that we're so concerned about being liked and so concerned about finding that person and kind of having that person kind of like us or love us, that sometimes there might be a tendency to start to get involved with like the first person you go out and meet if they show any signs of interest. And that might not be the best choice. So one of the things you might want to consider if you're anxious is, you know, maybe start to go on a few dates with 5 or 6 different people and start thinking, you know, what do I like about these people? Who do I think would actually really make a good partner? And that, also, the great thing about maybe just going on a few dates with 5 or 6 people means that you're not getting too kind of caught up in thinking this is the person. We start to be a little bit more objective so we can find that person who might really be a great long-term partner.
Absolutely. Well, and ideally, what you would hope for is to come across someone who's secure. So if a person is secure, they're comfortable with being in a relationship with someone else, they're relatively confident, they have a high level of self-esteem, they feel okay. They feel okay in terms of showing the other person that they're interested, so they don't have to play these kind of games with someone else. They are ready to build a more long-term relationship, they're reliable. But they're also okay with relying on other people. They're quite comfortable with, expressing their needs from someone else. So if you have one person in that relationship, and this is really, really interesting, that's all the research has shown this, if there's one person in the relationship who's secure, one partner is secure, the relationship overall tends to be secure. And that's something that frequently plays out in couples dynamics. And you've talked about couples dynamics, yeah? So if you have one partner who's secure in the relationship, generally, there doesn't tend to be a lot of problems in relationships. However, if you have a combination of one or both partners being either both anxious or both avoidant, or one anxious, one avoidant, that's when we see trouble ahead, basically.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to begin to learn about your own attachment style and the other person's. That's why we've developed the program, The Relationship Maze, is to help, you know, part of that is helping you to explore your attachment style and somebody else's, and above all, how you can learn to become more secure in your attachment style, because you can become more secure in your attachment style, not just through being in a relationship with somebody who is secure, but through exploring, you know, what's going on for you, what are some of the experiences that have maybe led you to have an anxious or an avoidant attachment style. Mm-hmm. And when you start to recognize that, it's about building up that internal confidence and self-esteem and other factors that help you become more secure in your relationships.
Absolutely, because that's a really important point that, as I said earlier on, attachment styles are not set in stone. So just because you have a particular style, that doesn't mean that you can't work on it, that you can't modify that, that you can't work towards becoming more secure in yourself and then also in your relationship. So there are ways and means of working on it. It's not something that you can just give up on and say, well, I mean, that's what I am, and therefore I haven't got any chance ever to do anything about it. It can be done, so it can be modified.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had a little talk about how it can affect people in, who might be single out dating, but it also can have a huge effect if you're in a relationship with somebody. Mm. Now, for example, if you have an anxious attachment style and you're with somebody who is more avoidant, that can manifest in certain ways, and it can cause quite major problems. And one of those situations could be, for example, is one person who is anxious, who's with somebody who's avoidant. The person, you know, maybe who's avoidant, maybe, you know, they're out working late one day, or they're out working late for a few days in a week, and they don't send the other part, their partner, kind of a message to say, I'm going to be out late. Now, the anxious person might start thinking, you know, what's this person doing? Mm-hmm. Even things like, you know, could this person be seeing somebody else? Or kind of, you know, do they not care about me? Or they start having all of this stuff playing in their heads, where maybe the other person is just kind of working hard and being more avoidant as well. They may not be so aware that the other person needs the reassurance, which even just something like a text message saying, you know, I'm just going to be a little late today, love you, or whatever it happens to be, which could just give that reassurance to the other person. But what happens is the anxious person's there getting worried, they're getting anxious. So when the other person gets back, you know, from that long day at work, the anxious person may even snap at them. They might say, like, where have you been? What have you been doing? And, you know, the other person might be actually quite pleased to see their partner, but suddenly they get this onslaught where being maybe even accused of things that they haven't been doing because the anxious person's been so worried. And so what happens is they get into a row, they get into a fight, and the avoidant person gets more avoidant because all this stuff gets triggered. They start to feel like, you know, I'm this person's kind of like hemming me in or kind of doing whatever. And as a result, you know, that can have a real problem. It can cause arguments, friction, and it can really be really challenging in a relationship.
Absolutely. And it's really worth emphasizing that most of the couples who I work with as a couples therapist have a presentation where one partner is avoidant and the other one is anxious. So they constantly get into the kind of dynamic that you just described, where one is maximizing all the time, creating the problem, so to speak, saying, well, we need to talk about this, I've got this or that problem. And the other one is minimizing and stepping back and withdrawing all the time and finding it all too much. So one is advancing, the other one is running away. That's the kind of dynamic that you have all the time with the anxious avoidance style. And that's a very, very, very common presentation, as I say, in couples who really get into arguments all the time, where this plays out frequently. But frequently also, of course, what causes difficulties is when you have, as I say, a combination of two people who are avoidant, for example. Well, what do you think might happen when two people are avoidant? Well, they don't tend to last very long, these relationships. Because what happens when you have two people who don't really want to trust each other, want to come close to each other, idealize each other, looking for the one, but then finding maybe this person isn't quite the one. So they last for a while. They can last for a while. Even avoidant relationships can last for a while. But as soon as there's a really serious crisis in the relationship where one partner needs to rely and depend on the other, for example, one partner loses their job, this particular couple combination gets into difficulties and doesn't tend to last. Or when there's children involved, that's when it gets very complicated. Because you have to learn to, you have to be able to rely on each other and be dependent on your partner. And that's what's really difficult for somebody who is avoidant.
Yeah, and taking that to a slightly different kind of level, in terms of, it's quite frequent that you actually do get anxious and avoidant people who come together because there is this strange sort of attraction.
Yes,
yes. And particularly with somebody who's anxious, they can get very attracted to someone who's avoidant, because what happens is this anxiety constantly is getting triggered off. So what happens is, say they're in a relationship, the anxious person really wants the love, and sometimes avoidant people can give what signals of love, but it's very mixed signals. So sometimes they give out what seems to be kind of loving signals, and then they get distant when they feel like kind of being hemmed in. And at those points, when they get more distant, the anxious person gets more anxious. It's like the anxiety gets triggered off, they get more and more anxious, and then when the other person finally does show some caring, the anxious person gets settled. So what we have is these ups and downs. It's a little bit like a fix,
yes,
in some ways, I think.
Yeah, yeah,
like you.
Totally,
it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, you know, suddenly they're kind of getting this need, this craving for love, and when they finally get it, it's like sometimes they have that craving,
yeah,
met. So they're kind of constantly in this need for, mm, I need these signs that I'm being loved. And so, you know, a lot of the time they're feeling very, very anxious, and mm, then the odd time that they actually get the signals that the other person cares, it somehow seems even more dramatic,
mm,
because it's like they're getting that craving met. But it's not healthy, because if you've constantly got these ups and downs, you're never really feeling settled, you're never feeling secure. And, you know, that instant buzz can feel good for a short time, but there's long periods where that anxiety can be really intense.
Mm.
And in fact, sometimes it can lead to relationships where there can be experiences of even abuse or abusiveness, because the,
yeah,
person who's anxious may put up with things because they get those moments where they do feel that the other person's giving them love,
mm,
but a lot of the time the other person may be very distant and cold and can really treat them quite badly.
Yeah.
So avoidant people, if they're with anxious people,
mm,
you know, it's quite frequent that the avoidant person can even kind of belittle their partner when they're out.
Absolutely.
So I've seen many examples of this where, mm-hmm, the avoidant person might just be very dismissive about their partner or kind of, mm-hmm, say quite nasty things about them. And, you know, the anxious person, you know, puts up with them because they're waiting for those moments where there is that sign of love and affection, which when they get it, it's like everything else doesn't seem to matter.
Mm-hmm.
But again, a lot of the time, they're really kind of feeling very low, they're feeling very, very anxious, and it's not a good place to be.
No. And the same is true of the last combination that we haven't quite talked about yet, is when you have two partners who are both anxious. So there tends to be a high form of expression in these kind of relationships, because there's a lot of anxiety in the system. And both partners need to ramp it up. So both partners need to protest, ramp up their demands once in a while if they feel like the other one isn't quite available enough for them. So you get a high level of drama very frequently in these kind of combinations where both partners are anxious. So because neither can kind of provide the security for the other, neither can kind of say, well, I'm here fully there for you. There's this constant sense of, again, is this comfortable? Is this safe for me, this relationship? Is the other one really there for me? It constantly gets questioned. And these relationships also don't tend to last really that long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't mean that some people with an anxious or avoidant attachment style, if they're together,
mm-hmm,
or an anxious, avoidant, it doesn't mean they don't sometimes last.
Mm-hmm.
They can do, but it's
of
not
course
usually that healthy, and it's usually,
mm-hmm,
quite a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's often these arguments. But when you start to, in terms of things you can do about it, well, one of the first things is to become aware of your attachment style and your partner's attachment style, as we talked earlier about with,
mm,
with singles.
Yeah.
Because if you're aware of these dynamics, then that awareness in itself helps you know, actually, this is something going on within me.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something that the other person's doing to me. It's actually,
yeah,
you know, this is my attachment style, this is why I'm feeling this way.
Mm.
And if your partner is willing to explore,
mm,
this too,
yes,
and they become that awareness, is then you can start to find different ways forward. You can start to have that awareness of each other's attachment style,
mm,
and know that if one of you, for example, is getting anxious, or one of you is starting to feel kind of, I need space on my own, you can learn to express it to each other and start to have more understanding.
Mm.
And kind of that can be an inroad to helping you both become more secure.
Absolutely. Good, yeah. So all of this is what we talk about in a lot more detail in the Relationship Maze. So we will look at your attachment style, explain what the different attachment styles are, how you can identify your attachment style, so what does it look like for someone who is avoidant, anxious or secure. We will also look at what you can witness on the other side. So what is happening over there with the person I'm with, either on a date or in a relationship. What kind of signals tell me what kind of attachment style I'm dealing with here, with the other person. And finally, we will also look in a lot more detail at the different combinations, these different relations, attachment styles in relationships, and how they play out, and what kind of difficulties they might bring, and how you might want to address these difficulties.
Absolutely. And attachment styles are really fascinating when you get to learn about them. And having that understanding can make such a difference in your relationships. It can help you have really far more fulfilling and happy relationships, and finding that long-term fulfilling relationship that sometimes, if we've got that anxious style or avoidance style to the extremes, we might think that sometimes we're never going to find that long-term fulfilling relationship. But you can.
Yeah. And you can work at it. So you can work at yourself. If you are anxious, if you are avoidant, you can work at it, you can develop it, you can kind of look at yourself and see how you can manage this differently. And that in turn then will enable you to be fully there for another person and fully there for the relationship that you ultimately desire and deserve.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for listening today, or for watching today. And we hope you tune into the next episode, and we look forward to seeing you then.
Bye for now.
I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to find out more about creating great relationships, go to therelationshipmaze.com, and I look forward to seeing you there. And remember to tune in to the next podcast.